Things that are out of our control can be frightening. And that's partly why the lethal Ebola outbreak is getting scarier. It seems to be out of control. Ebola has killed more than 1,000 people and sickened twice that many across West Africa. While the debate rages over untested vaccines and massive quarantine zones, new research suggests that fruit bats may be a big part of the problem. Fruit bats live mostly in thick forested regions, but they fly all over. And like other wild animals in this part of the world, bats are often eaten dried or in spicy soups. This bushmeat, as it's known, is considered a good source of protein, but it may also be a way that Ebola is spreading. Dr. Deanne Reeder is a professor of biology at Bucknell University.
One of the interesting things about these viruses that occasionally emerge is that we're not always certain about what the reservoir host is, what animal it lives in the forest. And all the data we have so far strongly suggests that fruit bats, that African fruit bats, are the reservoir host.
And so Ebola lives normally, naturally, in fruit bats?
It does. And so Ebola does live normally in fruit bats in Africa. The antibodies against Ebola have been detected in several different species. Scientists haven't yet found live virus, and that's something that we're actively trying to do. It's an important piece of the puzzle. Ebola does not make these bats sick. They have coexisted with it for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, co-evolved with it, and they essentially tolerate it. We don't have a good idea of how many of them carry it, how common it is, but we do believe that that's where it hides in the forest.
How much do we actually know about how fruit bats could be spreading Ebola?
We have some ideas about how an event may happen, how a spillover may happen from a fruit bat to a person, but they're oftentimes just ideas. One route of transmission is, of course, bushmeat hunting, which is, you know, subsistence hunting for protein. And it's been happening for thousands of years. It's a common cultural practice. It's a good source of meat. The risk always in bushmeat hunting of fruit bats or other animals is to the hunter or the butcher itself. So whoever is basically preparing the carcass to eat is exposing themselves to blood and tissues and saliva and maybe even has sustained a bite. And that's always really the risky point right there. It's not so much the meat after it's cooked. We don't think that that's a problem, but it's that initial human contact where the risk occurs.
Dr. Reeder, do you believe that bush meat hunting is inherently a dangerous practice? And if it is, it's cultural tradition. How hard is it going to be to kind of stop it, at least put a moratorium on it?
I think the issue of bushmeat consumption, you know, seems like it could be a very simple issue, but it's really, really quite complex. And it has long cultural history and traditions. If you look at the posters that are now being put up in Liberia and other parts of West Africa, they have this sort of do and don't section. And in the don't section, you know, it says don't eat bushmeat, don't eat fruit that bats have eaten. It has this whole list of things. And we think that, you know, those are going to help prevent future spillovers. But there's so much infrastructure that needs to be put in place in order to provide alternatives to bushmeat hunting. People are hungry. And my experience, at least in South Sudan, is that they really like the taste of bushmeat. It's something that they've lived with for a very, very long time. The difference really that we now see is whether or not you're sustainably hunting to feed your family or whether or not you're hunting for sort of a mass market. And that's where we see, I think, greater issues.
Do you have any sense of how the emergence of fruit bats into the human ecology is related to development of some of these forest areas, deforestation, that kind of thing, prompting fruit bats to flee their natural habitat?
Right. I think that is one of the big issues that we're seeing with emerging infectious diseases in general, is that we have what we would call human encroachment, right? So we see deforestation and people moving into areas where they hadn't previously been. That disturbs bats, disturbs their natural habitat. By doing these sorts of deforestation events, we are increasing the contact rate of bats and people. And that's a worldwide issue in terms of emerging diseases, is that increased human contact with bats. So I don't want to be sensationalistic about it, but I think there's a lot of things out there hiding in the forest. And we need to be good at predicting when those spillovers may occur and providing the infrastructure in places like West Africa to have early warning systems so that we can get appropriate responses in place.
Dr. Deanne Reeder, professor of biology at Bucknell University, thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
On the other side of the continent, toads. In a moment on the world, come with us to Madagascar, where an invasion of toads is threatening local flora and fauna, and getting rid of them will not be easy.
It's going to be a massive effort on the ground because we're dealing with all kinds of different terrain and areas that are difficult to access.
We'll bring you that story just after the break. Stay with us.